today is taken from the letter of James, chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. It can be found on page 227 in the New Testament section of our Pew Bibles. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith." You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith without works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It's very good to be with you. Now, as Jonathan was saying, our world seems to be in a bit of a turmoil at the moment. We seem to be in a time of instability. We're not quite sure exactly what's going to happen to our nation and our place within Europe. And I think it's good to come to God's word today and to remember that the word of the Lord endures forever. So if you'd like to keep your Bibles open, James chapter 2, we're going to ask that same God to be with us and teach us today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God of revelation and you would speak with us, your people, today. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would show us your truth. You would help us not just to be hearers of your word, but doers also. Come now and speak to us, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and our Lord. Amen. So we're continuing our little sermon series in the wonderful New Testament letter of James. Now, I wonder if you've heard Christians being criticized for sometimes talking lots, but not actually doing. Maybe Christians are sometimes called hypocrites. We say one thing, but we do another. We all know what it's like, isn't it? Another scandal, another church leader has fallen. We see another person who has not lived the life which they were recommending themselves. Now, when we get to this letter of James, we need to ask ourselves very seriously, what is this nature of faith? It's a very simple little word, but what does it mean to have faith? We also need to keep in mind the untold stories of followers of Jesus, stories of Christians that have made a big difference in this world, but they go by often unnoticed. They do not have millions of followers on Twitter. If you don't know what Twitter is, don't worry about it. They may not be in the public eye whatsoever, but Christians who are getting on with the job of following Jesus Christ and making a difference. And we're going to hear some of those stories in just a minute. But as we look down at James chapter 2, James gives us some examples, two bad examples, two negative examples not to follow, and two positive examples, things which we are to emulate. Now, the first one is this. Have you ever been an armchair hero? Have you looked at the television? You've criticized the sports stars? I could do better than that. Have you looked at the politicians thinking, how can they possibly believe that? Have you seen things of real need in your life appear on the TV screen? And you think, well, yes, I'll do something about that. And the week rolls on, and the month rolls on, and we've done nothing. And let's face it, we're all like that. We sit in our armchairs, we read things, we watch things, and to be honest, we never get round to doing much. Are we really an armchair hero? Now, we have to have our wits about us and understand that when James and Paul are talking about faith in the New Testament, often they mean different things. When James is talking about faith, he's using it from a different way than Paul. Now, that does not mean that James and Paul are in contradiction with one another. Some people like to put all these opposing characters together who wrote the New Testament and say there's a real tension, they disagree. But no, we need to keep our wits about us, and as we interpret the Bible, we understand they use language rather differently. Paul, that great writer of all those letters in the New Testament, he uses faith to mean an act of trust and obedience in Jesus Christ. And he tells us that faith alone is enough to get us right with God. That's the absolute bedrock and glory of the Christian faith. It's not by our good works, it's not by our actions, it's not by our lifestyle even that gets us to heaven. It's only by faith alone. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. But when James uses this word faith, he means it in a slightly different way. He means about it in a very sort of dry, intellectual way, a mere assent to something. And this faith isn't just another variety, just another alternative. It is dead. Okay? Now, you and I have faith in lots of different things. You and I have faith when you sit on that pew that somebody hasn't sawn halfway through it and it'll fall apart. I have faith when I go to a jumbo jet that the person who's flying it has actually been trained, has some experience, and they will fly this plane. Now, that might be a sort of misguided faith, but we all have faith in some things. What is the definition of faith that James is talking about? James here is trying to tell us, faith without actions is dead. It is not a living, genuine faith. Now, here's another slide which might help us to think. What does it mean for us to walk past people in need? What does it mean for us to say we are a Christian, that we're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not to take active, practical steps to help the needs of others? Jesus tells us we need a living faith, a working faith, to make a difference in this world. It's simply no good to see people in need and not help them practically. Look what it says in our reading, verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James thinks about a so-called Christian who speaks about love, but doesn't actually minister it to anyone. They make all the right noises, but there's no delivery. This is a dead faith. The great Baptist preacher C.H. Spurgeon once said, if you want to give a hungry man a gospel tract, wrap it up first in a sandwich. And there's a lot of truth in that. God created us physical as well as spiritual human beings. We've got to take care of the bodily needs of people at all. Is it an authentic faith? Now, I love this little cartoon I found. There's the famous statue of the thinker, and beside it is the empty plinth of the doer. Why? Because they realized the bins needed to be put out. They had to walk the dog or make some lunch. You see, you can imagine some smart aleck making the objection to James. Well, surely we're not all the same. Some Christians, they're thinking Christians, but then there's other Christians who are doing Christians. But James will have none of that. He simply says, faith by definition must be worked out in a different lifestyle from other people around us. The only authentic Christian is the one who has a living and active faith. So we might try to tell ourselves, well, look, I have this particular gift and ability. This Christian has that other gift and ability. And that's fine. We all have different gifts. But we all of us as Christians, need to have a faith that works, that goes into practical actions. Now, James is actually telling some quite hard things here. If you simply have a cerebral, intellectual faith, if you believe there's one God, good. Well, even the devils believe that. See where he says that? Verse 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith without works is barren? Even the devils believe. Even the supernatural enemies of Christ and the gospel believe there's one God. Does that save them? No. Does that mean they're on God's side, working for the kingdom of God? No. Of course not. A head knowledge is not a genuine Christian faith. Orthodox beliefs alone won't save us. You might have heard of the Christian hymn writer called Augustus Toplady. He once wrote that famous hymn, Rock of Ages. This is what he once said about his fellow Anglican clergyman in the 18th century. The devils are incomparably more orthodox than 19 and 20 of our modern divines. In other words, what he's saying is even the supernatural enemies of Christ and the gospel, the devils themselves, can be more orthodox than even the Christian believer. Now, did our Lord Jesus Christ not again warn us using similar words? This is what Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And those sobering words? Many people will say, Jesus, I worshipped you. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord. But he says, you do not have faith. You did not have the genuine faith that works. You are not my disciple. So those are the two negative examples that James talks about. The armchair hero who speaks lots but does little. The devils themselves who believe, but it's not a genuine faith at all. And then he goes on to these two great heroes of faith that we find in the Old Testament. There's a picture of Abraham. Throughout the Bible, the patriarch Abraham is held up to be the great man of God. He is so great in his faithfulness and his obedience to God that he's even called the friend of God, God's friend. Abraham believed God wholeheartedly. He readily submitted God's will and obedience, and he was therefore right with God. And it's interesting that both Paul in his letters and James in his letter both use Abraham as an example of faith. They are of one accord on this issue. And this picture from one of the recent films about Abraham takes us to one of perhaps the most darkest and perhaps disturbing stories in all of the Old Testament. Genesis 22, when God asks Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Now don't forget, Isaac was the son of promise. God supernaturally got this elderly couple way past childbearing age to have the son called Isaac. And God asks him to sacrifice the most precious thing to him. I have to admit, I did not really understand this story until I became a father myself. And God has blessed me with two little boys, two sons. And it still chills my blood when I think of the fact that God could call me to sacrifice like that. It's a horrific, dark story, but it tells us something about God's character and what it means to be obedient to him. Now, we could spend weeks about this story thinking how it prefigures Jesus and the resurrection, that ultimate story of the Father giving up his Son. But James wants us to understand something slightly different. Abraham has a living, active, obedient faith. Even in the most extreme circumstances possible, he was prepared to put it to the test. Abraham was prepared to hold nothing back from God. Nothing. Even his most precious son. So you see, his faith and his actions were welded together. What a great testimony that is, of complete abandonment to God and his purposes. Faith leading to action. And let me give you one practical example today of what it means to bear our Christian faith in actions. Has anyone heard of street pastors? For a couple of years, I was chair of street pastors in the borough of Wandsworth in South London. And it started off in 2003. 18 Christians went out onto the streets at night time in Brixton, because you realize there that in the nighttime economy, or the clubs, the pubs, the various things happening right up to about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, there's often real difficulties on our streets, real problems with the community. Often people worse for wear, for drink. Often there's fights. There's real civil disobedience, and sometimes there's real difficulties. And Christians said, we want to make a difference. We want to put our faith into action and go out onto our streets, get trained, put on the uniform, and put our faith into action. Now, hopefully, if all systems are working properly, we're going to have a little video of about 3 or 4 minutes of what a street pastor's team looks like in the city of Nottingham on, I think, a Friday night. Let's see if this works. And hopefully we can turn the sound up if you can't hear it. Oops, one more. Sorry if the sound quality wasn't great there, but let's just try to explain what it means to go out into the nighttime economy between 10 o'clock at night and 4 o'clock in the morning to make a real difference in our communities. We need to pray for people like the street pastors who are willing to do that, to make their faith practical, real, and to make a real difference in their communities. Now, the next person, Rahab. Now, what extraordinary contrast it is with Abraham. I think James is one of those writers, one of those speakers to the Christian community in these times. He's got a bit of an impish sense of humor. He throws this real rocket or two into his writings. Who on earth would be an interesting contrast to Abraham? What about Rahab? Abraham was a man, she's a woman. He was a Jew, she's a Canaanite, a Gentile. He's a great major character in the Old Testament Bible. She's only got a walk-on part. He's respected and honored. She is dubious and disreputable. He's a patriarch. She's a prostitute. And yet Rahab is held up as another wonderful example of faith. If you remember back in the story of Joshua chapter 2 to 6, she rescues the Israelite spies who go into the land. She brings them into her house. She keeps them safe while the authorities are looking for them. She's prepared to put her own neck on the line, to ignore her own personal safety, to look after these spies. She's not even a Jew. She's not an Israelite, but still she cares for God's people. She's prepared to worship the same God of Israel. And in Hebrews chapter 11, that great roll call of faith in the Bible, Rahab is also mentioned in these words. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. Now, it should make us wonder, why is Rahab mentioned by James? It should make us understand that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't show favoritism, as we saw last week in James. And in faith, he wipes away all our past mistakes, all our failures, all our weaknesses, all the ugly things we're probably embarrassed or ashamed about. And Rahab is a wonderful woman of faith. She puts her faith into action. And that should be encouraging for us. Genuine faith in places where we least expected it, if we have eyes to see it. Let me give you another wonderful example, a modern day example of faith. You might have heard of Jackie Pullinger. She was 22 years old when she felt that God was calling her to be a missionary somewhere around the world. But no missionary organization would take her seriously, and she went out by herself. So in 1966, she went on a boat. She ended up in Hong Kong. She soon got involved with helping the drug addicts in the notorious Kowloon Walled City, which at that time was run by the Triad Gangs. It was a brutal, tough, dark place in which to work. But the love of Christ shone into that darkness through Jackie Pullinger's ministry. And so James calls all of us. Are you putting your faith into action? Are you just a listener of the word, or also a doer as well? When people see you as a Christian, is there any difference in your life compared to those around you? I remember, I might have said this before, once we went to a youth club in Belfast when I was growing up, and there's a big picture on the wall, a big poster of a judge with a gavel, the wig, and it simply said underneath these words, You've been charged of being a Christian. Is there enough evidence to convict you? I thought, gosh, that's challenging, isn't it? If I was arrested for being a Christian, is there any evidence to show that I am one? James challenges us. Do you have a living and active faith? And that takes us back to where we all started. Are the criticisms of Christians ever valid? Do we fail to walk the walk after we have talked the talk? These days we're used to hearing about frauds, scams, mis-selling fake goods. But is our faith genuine, or is it counterfeit? Let me just leave you with one of these verses again from verse 20 of our reading. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith without works is barren? And that's verse 26, and I'll leave you with this verse. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are God Almighty. You are our Maker and Redeemer. Lord, you know our hearts today. You know the ways that we have failed to live for you. We have been like that person in the armchair, has so many good intentions, but never seem to get round to doing it. Lord, we want to ask in faith that your Holy Spirit would come upon our lives, changing us, sanctifying us, transforming us into the people that you wish us to be. We thank you for what James has been teaching us, and we want to pray, Father, that you would change us. Lord, In your mercy, hear our prayer.